We're going back to the book of Ezekiel. And tonight, as we start this new chapter, actually, we're going to start two chapters at once. I'm going to read both chapters. Chapter 2 is 10 verses long. Ezekiel chapter 3 is 27 verses long. But they really go together. And I think probably as we study these two chapters, we're going to see that in the Old Testament, probably more than any others of the books in the Old Testament, these two chapters really deal with how God moves and walks within us as believers and uses us. And we're going to see a little bit of that as we go on here. We see how God called Ezekiel, but he also moved his spirit in within him to empower him to be able to do the things that he called him to do. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 2, and let's read verses 1 through 10. Ezekiel 2 and verses 1 through 10. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." Then the Spirit entered me. Do you hear that? Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. And I heard him who spoke to me, and he said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are an impudent and stubborn children." Is that impudent or impudent? Impudent, yeah. I don't know how to pronounce that word. I know what it means, but, you know. "I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will not. They will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or to be dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious people." So you see the illustrations there he used, speaking of the character that these people were of. God didn't see them, look upon them real highly, you know, because they were very wicked. "You shall speak my words to them, and whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." And now I looked, and there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it was the lamentations and mournings and woe. Now let's go into chapter 3. "Moreover, he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go down and speak to the house of Israel.' And so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, 'Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you.' And so I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with them my words, and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech or of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and a hard language whose words you cannot understand. Surely I have sent you to them. They would have, they would have listened to you." In other words, the people who were of unfamiliar speech and hard language. "But the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent, that can I write that time, and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face stone against their faces, and your forehead." I'm messing with my glasses here, and I can't see anything. "Behold, I have." My glasses keep sliding down my nose.
It's sweaty in here.
Yeah. "Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like an adamant stone harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their rebellious looks, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, 'Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you and hear with your ears, and go get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse.' Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous noise. 'Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place.' And I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and the great thunderous noise. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And it simply says that he was not happy. He was kind of upset about all this. Then I came to the captives of Tel Abib, who dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Now it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked of his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when the righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also you will have delivered your soul. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, Arise, go out into the plain, and there I shall talk with you. And I rose and went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory which I saw with the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered me, and set me on my feet, and spoke with me, and said to me, Go shut yourself inside the house, and you, son of man, surely they will put ropes on you, and bind you with them, so that you cannot go out among them. And I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be mute, and not one of, and so that you shall be mute, and not be one to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God: He who hears, let him hear; and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. So you see how both chapters tie together here, and it's so important for us to read those both together initially. So, Diane, would you ask the blessing upon what we're going to be sharing with you tonight?
Father, we just thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day that you've done today. Father, thank you that we're able to come to be in your house and come to community. Father, I just ask you that none of you is honored to be put to ribbons for peace, to give you great glory, and trust in your name.
Amen. Amen. Again, as we ended there, what I wanted you to notice more than anything else, though, was that God had equipped him, given him everything that he needed. But he went and he sat beside the river where his people sat, but he didn't open his mouth. He didn't say anything. And the Lord rebuked him for it. And he told him, if I tell you to tell them something and you don't tell them, they will die, but their blood will be upon your own head. But if they take heed, again, they've delivered their soul. I've often thought about this verse of Scripture in relation to who we are today under the realm of grace. And I still believe that we have a great responsibility to share the gospel with people. You know, I actually heard there was an atheist one time who said that if Christians really loved people the way they say they love people, then they are to be going door to door, talking to everybody they meet. You know, he's right. He's right. We don't like to think about that. The other thing I think is interesting here is it seems like that Ezekiel is falling on his face before God a lot, right? That's because of God's holiness. And after he fell on his face before the Lord in chapter 1, the Lord tells him to stand on his feet here in chapter 2. Then the Spirit stood him up on his feet. I think it's always that way with the Lord. He's not only the commander, but he's also the enabler. He's the one who helps us to be able to do what he's called us to do. And what he does, what he says, he does. He's right there with us. And if he tells you to love your enemies, then guess what? He will give you the power to love your enemies. If he tells you to forgive someone, a brother or sister, he will also give you the ability to do just that. And when you read your Bible, the Lord speaks to you to apply that word. Maybe it's in a specific, you know, circumstance that he wants you to apply it. You can know by the virtue of the fact that he told you to do it, that he will enable you to do it. See, he never says, here's the goal. Good luck. See if you can hit it. No. He says, here's my word, and here's my spirit to go along with my word, to enable you to do my word. That's the way it is with missionary work, folks. So many times people say, well, I don't want to come to the Lord because I don't want to be sent to Africa as a missionary. God won't send you to Africa to be a missionary, except that he won't first put a burning desire in your heart to do it and equip you to be able to do it. That's when you know that you're called. That's the way God calls all the time. Ezekiel is the way he works. The way he worked in Ezekiel is the way he works in us. So you can be certain that the Holy Spirit will direct you to take on difficult assignments, to speak to people sometimes that are obstinate, hard to reach. Sometimes he'll have you talk to people who are very hard-hearted. He will equip you to be able to do so. Ezekiel's example in this book teaches us to trust and obey and follow the Lord fully by the Spirit and his empowering, regardless of how likely or unlikely you may enjoy success. Later on in Ezekiel, the Lord laments just how obstinate that his people really are to him, and how that they actually brought reproach against his name on a constant basis to the nations that were all around them that they should have been witnessing to. In Ezekiel 36, verse 20 through 21, it says, when they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel has profaned amongst the nation wherever they went. Later on, he would say, but my own right hand brought salvation, brought the message. God couldn't find anybody within the nation of Israel who could represent him to the nations. That's what Israel was created for, to be a representative to the nations. I found this in the Daily Bread. Companies that compete for consumer dollars know the importance of protecting their name and their reputation. Shoddy quality or poor service can cause profits to plummet. While on a trip, I saw a car rental company experiencing a customer service disaster. When people arrived at the rental counter to pick up their keys, they faced long lines, discourteous staff, and inconvenient conditions. The reaction was predictable: frustration and anger. I doubt that many of those customers ever rented a car from that company again. The agency's name had become an object of mockery. This has to remind me of Israel's behavior, and how they brought disrepute to God's name, as they had lived like the other pagan neighbors. The Lord scattered them amongst the nation. The unbelieving world laughed at both Israel and the name of her God. Let's bring this situation up to date. As Christians, we bear the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ. What does the world think of him by what they see in us? Bringing honor to his name is more important than the great corporation living up to its name. Our lives really have only one purpose, and that is to reflect the Lord. We must guard against doing anything that will cause others to profane his holy name. When others get to know you, they will want to know Christ. And again, that was from the Daily Bread. Just a truth I wanted to share with you. I really believe that with all my heart. The Holy Spirit led Ezekiel to stand for God, and everyone eventually has to stand for something, don't they? Remember the old song by Bob Dylan, "You Gotta Serve Somebody"? It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Well, that's really true, you know. And it's the Holy Spirit who draws us and who empowers us to stand for God. Because without him, we can do nothing. John 6 and 44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. And then we're told in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through 11, that God gives us spiritual gifts to empower us to be able to do the work that he's called us to do. This is to help us to be effective witnesses. Listen to what it says. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know what that tells me? There are some Christians who are ignorant when it comes to spiritual gifts. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills, not as we will, you see. And it was the Holy Spirit who distributed to Ezekiel here and raised him up to be a prophet. Ezekiel heard the Lord speak to him, and I believe the Lord, He wants us to be responsive to Him too whenever He speaks to us. And if we're not sure, I believe that He wants us to ask, God, is that You? You know, help me to know for certain. I've shared the story with you many times about how when God called me into ministry, I was working on my van, and I was saying, Lord, I've heard about callings, Lord, but what's my calling? What do you want me to do? And it was like an audible voice. The Lord said, whatever needs to be done. And I've been content with that ever since. Whatever needs to be done, I just stepped in and did. You see, whenever you feel a tug on your heart for a specific calling, whatever it may be, again, it may be the Holy Spirit will send you to speak to just one person who's mean and obstinate. Or again, He may cause you to speak to a multitude of people who have a bad attitude. But the important thing is this. When you hear the call, don't run. Don't run like Jonah. Remember? That certainly didn't produce a desirable outcome, at least until he complied. Ask the Lord to help you to obey the Spirit's directives, regardless of how unlikely it is that you're going to enjoy any kind of success or be received at all. Again, He's given us the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes people receive it, sometimes they will not. But God gives Ezekiel warnings to give to His people. Of chapter 3, let me turn back there. Oh, I will lay a stumbling block. It's an idiom or an illustration of how that God will cause him to stumble. He won't prosper in his way. Yeah, because if you were walking righteously and you decide to turn and walk in iniquity, you know, if you sin, you won't prosper. The Bible says he who tries to cover his sin won't prosper. If you confess it and you forsake it, you will have mercy. You see, so the stumbling block is simply God saying, you're not going to prosper walking like this. But I believe that when you please God, He will cause you to prosper in everything that you do. And he will give you the desires of your heart. And he shall die in his sins. Yeah. And again, keep in mind that we're talking about the law. This is under the law. Okay. So Jesus came to deliver us from the curse of the law. This is under the law. And that's one of the things, rightly dividing the Word of God. And certainly, the Bible tells us that we have all sinned, we have all fallen short. And in my Christian walk, there are times that I've messed up and God has put a stumbling block in my way. But the purpose isn't to cause me to fall away, but rather so that I'll change my direction. So He wants you to have a change of mind, to go to the different direction. You know, that's what the stumbling block's put there for. You'll, you know, not continue in the same direction. Yep. Now, Americans are getting worn to death. Manufacturers are growing increasingly wary of being sued when their products are misused. So they're attaching warning labels to hundreds of items. For example, there was a Batman outfit that bared this caveat. It said, parents, please exercise caution for play only. Mask and cape are not protective. Cape does not enable user to fly. So, you know, I've heard many of these labels like that. They're kind of funny, humorous. That means somebody somewhere has done this, you know. Or like, you know, put an iron in a washing machine, you know. Don't tumble dry this. It means that somebody's done that somewhere, you know. So many warnings appear on items sold in stores, say the experts, that they've lost their effectiveness, though. While these kinds of warnings may fall on deaf ears, the Bible points out the importance of heeding God's warnings. And Ezekiel's words in chapter 3 make it clear that a warning is vital, not only for the person receiving it, but also for the person who is giving it. He said, pay attention. You yourself pay attention. Take heed. Don't you be like that rebellious house. God's word must be taken seriously. In Ephesians 4 and 3, that we are told, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But you remember the rest of it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by which you have been sealed. With the Holy Spirit promise. You know, we know what it says in later on in one of the books. It says, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. What seal? The promise that He stands sure. He's faithful. He's able to deliver us and keep us. It says, nevertheless, that everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then we are reminded in Scripture that we should abstain from every form of evil. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says that, abstain from the very appearance of evil. We're warned to flee adultery. We're warned to flee lust, war against the soul. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 28, it says, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman with lust in her and lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And then we are warned about judging others self-righteously, like we don't have any sins. Matthew 7, 1 through 5, judge not that you be not judged. With the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be judged back to you, or measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, the plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, here we have to understand that the law is good. It's God's perfect it's God's standard. Okay? But we couldn't keep the law. That's why Jesus came to keep the law for us. Okay? Yet God has called us to allow that law to be what governs our lives. We're not saved by it, but it should govern our lives. You understand what I'm saying there? Okay. The Lord created us. The Lord who created us knows how that we should live. And he longs to protect us from the dangers of not hearing and not complying to his will and purpose, to putting into application what God's owner's manual says. You know, if it's broke, this tells you how to fix it. You know, you got to go there. So we need to take all of God's warnings very seriously, including the ones that are found in the Old Testament law. They're written for our admonition. So the devil's very subtle in getting us to buy into his lies, just like he did to Eve. And he'll say things like, did God really say that? He's very, very cunning. You need the Spirit's help to be able to discern when it's a lie from the truth or a truth from a lie. And that's why we need to be constantly looking at God's warnings, his word, and to make them our daily concern as we study them. You need to know God's warnings are there to protect us, not to punish us. The Holy Spirit bolstered Ezekiel's sense of purpose and gave him courage and power with God's precedent teachings. Ezekiel 2 and 6 says, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or be dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You can stand on the fact that God's words are truth and that they are sure. We need to ask the Lord to help bolster our sense of purpose and courage and power in being able to distribute what God's given us to others. Again, knowing that we're going to face attacks, we're going to face criticisms, whatever ministries God's called you to, simply upholding and confirming God's word. The Holy Spirit warned Ezekiel against conforming to the morally lax atmosphere and attitudes of the people that were around him, as the Lord said in Ezekiel 2 and 8. But you, son of man, hear what I say. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. I'm not taking of the word of God. And so often today, many Christians have been so influenced by the world, whereas they should be evangelizing the world. The world has evangelized the church. These things ought not be so. The Holy Spirit sent Ezekiel to his own people to use him he had kind of an insider status with them, you know, because he was a Jew as well. His identification and familiarity with the culture should have helped his credibility with them, but it didn't so much. Yes, Jim?
Why is it referred to as the man?
It's a term for a prophet. Okay. Yeah. In verse 3 through 7 in chapter 3, he said, and he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. And so I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. The house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hardened and hard-hearted. So we need to ask the Lord to help us to be able to use the tools that we have at hand to enhance and persuade people the elements of the truth that God's given us. You know, think about even Moses. Moses, God said, go to my people and tell them. I can't talk. I don't speak too well. Remember what God said to him? Moses, who made your mouth? Who made your tongue? You know? But you know what God did? He said, I'm going to give you your brother, Aaron. He's going to be your mouthpiece. Okay? God empowers his people. He will give you the power. He will give you the strength to accomplish his will and purpose if you hear his voice and will obey what he commands you to do. The Holy Spirit gave Ezekiel an uncompromising mind and a will and a set of emotions that are in agreement with him. And the Lord said in Ezekiel 3:8, behold, I have made your face strong against their faces. God did this. He didn't come by it on his own. And your forehead strong against their foreheads. Again, when it comes to doing God's will, we need to be hard-headed toward the world in compromise. We need to be tender and receptive to his words and to those who would receive his words. The Holy Spirit lifted Ezekiel up to hear the multitude of the courses of praise that were brought forth after he heard the Lord speak. And I believe he did this for a purpose. I believe he did this for a purpose to let him know that he was not alone, that the Lord would be with him every step of the way. Ezekiel 3:12 says, then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. Just because God is in heaven doesn't mean he can't touch what takes place upon the earth. It's kind of humorous in a way, but I saw the other night somebody posted on Facebook that if God can make a firefly's rear end light up, he can do anything, you know. Your problems are pretty little, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So the Holy Spirit led Ezekiel even through the, even though the prophet was angry and bitter, you know, I think that he was not happy that probably that God was sending him to do this. He didn't feel he was equipped. Yeah, yeah. That's something that God knows, you know. I think that, ultimately it comes down to judgment where one day people stand before God and they say, well, we never knew. And God will replay it all for them. Look, this is where you had the opportunity, you know. I shared with you before how that there was a man at work who had a heart attack and his name was Skip. And all day long I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, go see Skip. God, he's really hard-hearted, doesn't want to hear. Go see Skip. It would not let me go. Finally, I said, okay, Lord, I'll go. So I decided to go by the drugstore and buy some fishing magazines and hunting magazines and bring them there to him, you know. As soon as I opened the door and come into the room, he said, oh, I don't want to hear all about that stuff. No, because he knew that I was coming there, you know, and I was going to share the gospel message with him. And I said, well, okay, well, let me just leave this with you, you know. I said, if ever you want to talk, I'm here to talk with you. You know, you can't beat people over the head. But as I left there, I said, God, why? Why? Why did you send me? And I knew it was God sent me. And I believe the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, he can't say. He never had the opportunity to hear. He never had the chance. But I don't know whatever happened with him. I'm sure he's probably not around any longer. He's older then. Again, we got to keep in mind that God is able to get a hold of a person's heart. It may not seem like you're reaching them, but you are planting seeds. And the seed, when you plant it in the ground, what do you see immediately? Nothing. You don't see anything. God sends someone along who will water. Somebody else will come along and water. If that seed is planted, Lord willing, sooner or later, it's going to come to life. So keep in mind that God uses sometimes more than one laborer on a person or people, you know, just as he did with the children of Israel. There are many prophets that dealt with the children of Israel. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Think about the fact that God says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, God doesn't take them away. Even in a circumstance like this, he's angry. He doesn't want to do this. Maybe that's perhaps the reason he didn't speak at the river. God spoke to him again and told him, you need to speak. And the Holy Spirit gave these specific words of warning to speak to an unrepentant people. And it doesn't matter whether he felt like they were deserving or not. He was to do what God told him to do. Ezekiel 3:17-19, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. It's an awesome responsibility. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your own soul. Now see, again, this is really the law. Our salvation is not dependent upon what we have done, but on what Jesus has done for us. But we see here God's desire under the law is to reach people. And the Bible says the law is good if it's done lawfully. Well, what does that mean? It means if you're trying to be saved by the law, that's not what God's designed the law to be. To be a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Therefore, we should be using it as a schoolmaster to bring people to Christ. That's the purpose. So again, we see here that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to persuade people who are lost in their sins and to accept God's plan and to reject their own. The Holy Spirit directed Ezekiel to specific places, people, and occasions. He did this because God's gifts and ministries are diverse, as we read before. That specific purpose for each and every one of us, specific ministry. As the old saying goes, you can't put God in a box. In a lot of ways that's true, and there's some ways that that's not true. One thing that you can't do with God is you can't make God lie. You can't change God. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. God does deal with people in various different ways. The way I got saved most likely was not the way you got saved. The way that Natalie got saved most likely was not the way that you got saved, nor me. But thank God people get saved. Amen? And thank God God uses different methods to reach people. Ezekiel 3, verse 22 through 23 says, when the hand of the Lord was upon me there, he said to me, arise, go out into the plain, and there I shall talk with you. And so I rose and went onto the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. Fell on his face. He worshipped the Lord. And he understood that he had a wrong spirit at the beginning. God was going to change his heart. A lot of times when God first calls us, we're not really walking the way that we should walk either. But little by little, he's molding and he's making and developing us into vessels that are fit for his use. Philippians 2 verse 12 through 16 says, therefore, my beloved, as you always have obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. A lot of people have read that and they stop right there. You do yourself an injustice if you do that. Read what the next verse says. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, just like Ezekiel was in, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. The Lord says to Ezekiel, before you go out and give to others, you need to chow down. And that's what we need to do. One of the reasons why the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, 2 Timothy 2 and 15. There are those who want to teach the word. They're really not called or prepared to do it yet. Usually what happens, they can become very legalistic in their attitudes. And they could lead people astray from the truth of God's grace. They can go back into legalism or the law. Don't fully comprehend that grace. The Apostle Paul spoke of this dilemma as well in 1 Timothy 1, 5 through 16. He says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, and from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith, from which some having strayed have turned aside to idle talk. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous person, but for the lawless and for the insubordinate, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for the unholy, the profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, and for menslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Notice what it says, the Lord enabled him, okay? Not Paul. for the things that Paul thought was for, you know, praiseworthy, he says, I count these as dung. They're just not worth it. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I was very legalistic before, and now he's come to that point of grace where he understands clearly. He says, however, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. What you'll find as you begin to study the Word, the Lord begins to change you and prepare you for whatever calling he's put upon your life, you'll find that even the hard things of the Word of God become sweet when you take them in and you believe in them and you put into application. Even the rebukes and even the reproofs and the corrections can become satisfying. If the Word of God is not satisfying to you, chances are that you're not really feeding on the Word. You're just a nibbler, malnourished. These chapters are really teaching us what Paul taught young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 through 5. He says, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Does this sound like the children of Israel? He's referring to the church here. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. I find it interesting that he uses that word watchful, because what did God say to Ezekiel? You are a watchman. Be you watchful in all things. Endure affliction and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I know that there are times where you feel like ministering, and there are times when you don't feel like ministering. Sometimes you feel like it's the last thing in the world that you want to do. God wants to teach us that no matter what mode we're in, no matter where we are emotionally, whether we're angry about something, we're to be sharing God's word faithfully. And we're supposed to be doing it, showing love and acceptance. It's so important that you eat the same spiritual food that you share with others too. Otherwise, it's nothing more than hypocrisy. At a 1993 annual meeting of the American Heart Association, there were 300,000 doctors, nurses, and researchers that met in Atlanta to discuss, among other things, the importance of a low-fat diet, how it plays in keeping our hearts healthy. Yet during mealtimes, they consume fat-filled fast food, such as bacon, cheeseburgers, and fries, at about the same rate as people at other conventions. One cardiologist was asked whether or not his partaking of high-fat meals set a bad example. He replied, not me, because I took off my name tag. This is something that every Christian should be concerned about. We can't just take off our name tag. We are either Christian 24 hours a day or we're not a Christian. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Imagine if Ezekiel lived like the rest of the Israelites. Again, his words would just fall on deaf ears. It's bad enough many didn't receive his words with him living godly, but living an ungodly, hypocritical life just caused the prophet just to be spinning his wheels. And the same is true for us as well. If you want to be effective in ministry, you've got to live the life. You've got to eat the same food and be prepared, study to show yourself approved, that you can dispense that to others. I believe that that's what these chapters are really teaching us. And some of it is hidden in allegory. Nonetheless, I wanted you to see that it is the Spirit who stood him up. It's the Spirit who lifted him up. It's the Spirit who did all the work in him. And I hope you recognize that, because it is the Spirit who does the same thing in each and every one of us. Thank God we are led of the Spirit. Amen? Because when we do things in our flesh, we make a mess of things, don't we? Yeah. All right. Diane, you mind closing the prayer tonight?